Hello and welcome to the first Gemstone Mine Tournament Report. I'm John, I'm back from Oktoberfest in Philadelphia, PA, hosted by Monarch Media. The event was an absolute blast, and I got to meet so many awesome people, walking away with a playmat that is just covered in autographs from just about everyone that I met. And this is going to be a breakdown of the event itself, round by round, with the highs and the lows. The tournament was 17 rounds of Swiss, played over a period of 2 days, with 5 rounds on day 1 and then 2 rounds on day 2, each round being 75 minutes long. Then the playoffs cut to top 40, with the top 8 at the end of Swiss getting a bye to the quarterfinals, seeding into the pods for the semifinals. Playoffs were single elimination, no time limit, with the winners advancing to the next round. That means that the quarterfinals were 32 players in 8 pods, sending 8 winners towards the semifinals, and the 4 semifinal pods were half winners from the quarterfinals and half players who finished top 8. The winners of the semifinals then advanced into the finals. For my deck, I chose to bring Vol and Noble Heritage to this event, primarily because I was just enjoying the deck quite a bit when I was playing it. There were some strategic reasons for this, though. I anticipated running into a lot of beatdown decks, like Winota, like Najeela, and just having that additional layer of protection in the form of a Vigilant Commander felt relatively good at preventing these decks from getting through unimpeded. I also thought that a potential round of protection from Nitimna triggers, or other attacky decks like Winota or Najeela from Noble Heritage triggers, was worth something, and it turns out that I did indeed have several games where being immune to combat damage denied the Timna player extra card draw, or made it so the player with the beefy commander had to swing elsewhere, padding my life total, which a slower deck like Vol definitely wants. In addition, Vol's combos with Staff of Domination and Umbral Mantle are both really hard to stop unless you know exactly where to interrupt the combo, or you can keep Vol off the board, as the lack of haste really slows the deck down. I'll post a link to the deck that I brought to the event, as well as a link to the list I'm going to maintain going forward in the description for this episode. Let's get started with round 1. I sat in seat 2, with Winota going first, a Timna Thrasios Razaketz deck in seat number 3, and a Yuriko deck in seat number 4. Winota got off to a blisteringly fast start, as Winota can sometimes do, but the Razaketz player spent some interaction to get Winota off the board, and she didn't see a fourth land drop until much later in the game. I developed a value Ledger Shredder early, and began using it to try to pressure life totals at the same time that Yuriko was also pressuring life totals, and eventually threatening double Yuriko triggers every turn with Sakashima the Imposter on the field. I was not seeing any tutors for my combo pieces, so I was just getting a lot of value from Ledger Shredder, so I decided at this point my best route to victory was just to toe the line, gamble on Yuriko triggers to be able to knock my opponents while I was still at a relatively high enough life total that I may not go to zero, but they might, and then try to knock the other players out as quickly as I could. It didn't wind up working exactly that way. The Yuriko player was actually eliminated before any of the other players were knocked out, and I didn't get to the point where I could just 1v1 Winota and try to fly over her head. Instead, ultimately the 75-minute time limit elapsed. We wound up at a draw after the Yuriko player was combat damaged out of the game, and while it was a wild game, at this point I'm 0-0-1. Round 2 put me in seat number 4, but actually wound up being seat 3. Let me explain. We were selected for deck checks in round 2, and the Najeela player who would have been in seat number 1 was handed a game loss for their sleeves being too transparent. I also got a warning for there being a scuff on the back of one of my sleeves, but one proxy and one new sleeve later, and I was good to go. This meant the pod wound up being Khazar Akima Food Chain going first, another Winota pilot going second, and me going third. Once again, the Winota player got off to a blazingly fast start with a turn 1 Legion War Boss, triggering at the beginning of combat on turn 1 and then forcing me to spend a silence on turn 2 during their upkeep, just to stop a turn 2 Winota and 3 triggers on that turn. At this point, I either had the option to Enlighten Tutor on upkeep to get a Grafdigger's Cage and force Winota to play fair, or try to develop a value engine in the form of Ledger Shredder, who had just shown me over a dozen cards in the previous game. And I think it's fair to say this was my worst misplay of the entire event, as I chose to cast Ledger Shredder and hold on to Enlighten Tutor in an attempt to win. The Food Chain player spent a counterspell on turn 3 to counter Winota, And Winota just kept chipping in for combat damage, making land drops, and the food chain player wasn't able to develop enough blockers to stem the tide of goblin tokens by the time Winota came down and ended the game in a turn or two. My record now goes to 0-1-1. Round 3 is the first time I really feel like I was in the driver's seat of a pod. I'm sitting in seat 1, with the Korvald player in seat 2, Urza in seat 3, Breya in seat 4. I get Vol down early, and the Breya player confirms that nobody has any way to stop artifacts from coming down by casting Basalt Monolith and then Rings of Brighthearth, with no outlet for that mana, fortunately. So I drop Umbral Mantle, pump Vol for lethal commander damage, and eliminate the Breya player, knowing I could tutor up an outlet for my mana during the next turn cycle. Korvald had already spent a lot of interaction and was almost in top deck mode at this point, and the Urza player did manage to bounce Vol and force me to reset, in addition to using a Pithing Needle on Umbral Mantle. But I managed to get an Umbral Heritage and Vol back online, then transmute Artifact the Umbral Mantle into Staff of Domination, and with 7 toughness, I felt pretty confident I could win. But the Urza player pulled out Trick Bind, literally the one card which split second and activated abilities of that permanent can't be activated again, turn printed on it. It was the perfect counter. It stopped me dead in my tracks. And then the Korvald player used Noxious Revival to put Trekbind back on top of the Urza player's library, so I forced the Urza player to use it again at their next end step, and when I went to untap on my turn, they had a bounce spell ready, so Vol, I had to recast and get ready for the win again on the next turn. But then the Korvald player top-decked Chain of Smog and comboed us out with Witherbloom Apprentice. My record is now 0-2-1, but I felt pretty good that my deck had threatened so many wins and only got stopped because of specific interaction that I didn't think most people in the event would be on. Round 4, I start to feel the pain a little bit more, and I'm starting to feel discouraged. Our fourth player no-showed the round, so wound up being Gitrog in Seat 1, me in Seat 2, and Thrasios Timna in Seat 3. I tried to maneuver around the Thrasios Timna player's interaction to skirt into the win, but the Gitrog players saw the sliver of an opening first where they could use the Thrasios Timna player's own Notion Thief against them to force them to draw out their entire deck with dredge triggers from Dakmor Salvage on Gitrog, and then just proceed to their normal combo lines to eliminate me from there. Shout out to Varlis from the Sad Gnaws podcast. He showed me the things that you can normally think would stop Gitrog don't actually stop Gitrog, which means now I'm 0-3-1, and while I'm happy for Varlis, I'm feeling pretty discouraged for myself. Round 5, final round of Swiss for day 1. I'm actually back in seat 1 with a Jetmir Stax player in seats 2, a Gitrog player in seat 3, and Timna Sakashima in seat number 4. I get Vol down early, I begin to trigger Noble Heritage, and I'm really happy with how the triggers are disrupting the attacks that my opponents have options with. There's a little bit of early interaction, but I see an opening when Vol is at 7 toughness, so I just go for it with Staff of Domination. I spend some of my interaction to protect the combo, then I demonstrate my loop, draw my deck, and begin to panic because I realize that I had to play a land before I actually went for my combo line in order to hold protection up. My normal outlet here is to play a Treasure Vault as my outlet for infinite Vol mana, and it took a while for my brain to kick back in and go, oh, that's the whole reason I play Paradise Mantle. So I cast Paradise Mantle for 0, equip it for 1 of my unbounded mana, get blue-blue, and cast Thoracle to win my first game. I'm now 1-3-1, and quite honestly, I'm considering dropping after that because I've just proven in several games the deck has potential, and there's still a lot of room to improve. But I had a talk with Adam, another one of the Sad Gnaws hosts, and he convinces me to stay in, because if I can eke out 2 wins on day 2, I could still potentially make top 40. And if I get 1 win and want to draw, then there is a chance, depending on tiebreakers, to make top 40. So, let's go to day number 2, round 6. And this is where I start to feel a lot more confident with the deck. I'd already had my win, I felt like I knew the deck relatively well, and I felt like I knew where my openings would manifest themselves. In this game, I have a Tivit player in seat number 1, I have me in seat 2, Minsk and Boo, Timeless Heroes in seat 3, and a 5-color Sisse Gigantha deck in seat number 4. And shoutouts to Surreal. The piloting of Minsk and Boo was absolutely beautiful, mulliganing to a turn 1 collector oof, which shut down both myself and Tivit. So I decide I'm going to slow roll things. Turn 2, I cast Noble Heritage, planning to get Vol out on turn 4 because my only acceleration is on artifacts. I decide on turn 3 that the Walking Ballista that I kept in my opener as my outlet, I'm just going to cast it for X equals 1, making a point to curse the Ooh for forcing me to play a worthless card to avoid time walking myself. And out on schedule, turn 4, I cast Vol. At this point, the Sisse player had cast a Yasharn, turning off fetch lands and threatening to start the beatdown. But on my upkeep, the Sisse player takes the Noble Heritage trigger to pump Yasharn up, giving me another turn before I have to start worrying about getting beat down by the pig. I don't have a lot of cards in hand, but I do have a tutor for Umbral Mantle in hand, and I have touched the Spirit Realm. So, I decide to test the waters on turn 5, knowing that Tevesh and Sisse both have already spent a lot of interaction fighting over whether or not Minx and Boo's Collector Oof would stay on the table. I cast Grand Abolisher, and I'm shocked when it sticks. Minx and Boo cast Survival of the Fittest, but it's pinched on mana and can't start activating it. Now, I'm not sure if the Sisse or Tivit players are more worried about me, or they're more worried about Minx and Boo, but Sisse pressures Tivit's life total with Yasharn, and the Tivit player is still locked down thanks to Collector Oof. So at the end of Tivit's turn, I channel Touch the Spirit Realm, exiling Collector Oof until the end of my turn. On my turn, under the protection of Grand Abolisher, I tutor up Umbral Mantle, cast it to generate unbounded mana under the cover, and then ping down the table with Walking Ballista activations. Surreal knew exactly what I was up to, but couldn't convince the rest of the table that I was the threat until it was too late, which takes my record to 2-3-1. Round 7 is the final round of Swiss, and our pod is Blue Farm in Seat 1, Thrasios Bruce in Seat 2, me in Seat 3, and Yisan in Seat 4. I mulligan fairly aggressively and settle on an opening hand where I can land an early Archivist of Ogma, expecting Yisan and the other two decks with black in their identity to give me a lot of draw off of it. And I get pretty lucky with people also top-decking fetches, drawing me additional cards and padding my life total. The extra card advantage proved sufficient in this case to draw me into a tutor, so I set up Noble Heritage and then Vol, held up Interaction to stop anyone else in the turn cycle, and then closed things out by tutoring for Staff of Domination, drawing my deck, and casting Thoracle to win, and now I'm 3-3-1 and make the cut to top 40. I get a little break before top 40 started, and eventually I sit down to the quarterfinals pod, which consists of Lurrus in seat number 1, me in seat 2, Teemer Pirates in seat 3, and Animar in seat 4. And I mulled a 5, keeping a hand that has a chance to get me some card draw off of Esper Sentinel. I managed to dig back a little bit to a position where I can be a contender at the table thanks to some early interaction, but the entire game, I am taking advantage of my seat 2 to push a lot of the need for interaction onto the Teemer Pirates player in seat 3, particularly when Animar starts getting scary and threatening to pop off with Dockside Extortionist. I just keep saying truthfully, I mulled to 5 and had to bottom my Pact of Negation. You have to stop this or we all lose. Ultimately, this drains both the Teemer players of their interaction, and on my upkeep, I've got Vol up to 7 toughness with Noble Heritage, so I Enlighten Tutor and have to spend my protection in the form of Delay to keep Opposition Agent from resolving and denying me my tutor. This makes me nervous, but I've just shown my hand, so it's now or never. I cast Staff of Domination, begin to demonstrate the loop, and the Teemer Pirates player cast Deflecting Swat to change the target of the first staff untapped target creature to one of his creatures. But, as I mentioned, Vol already has 7 toughness, so I still have 4 generic mana in my mana pool, so I just, with the Swat on the stack, spend 1 to untap Staff of Domination, go to 3, spend 3 to untap Vol, and then tap Vol for 7, and demonstrate my loop again, with the Swat still waiting to resolve. So, I draw my deck, the Dork untaps, I cast Thoracle to win, putting me into the top 16. The top 16, the semifinals pod, had 2 of the players from top 8 who were fresh off their bye into this pod, with Timna Thrasios Hermit Druid in seat 1, Krom Tevesh in seat number 2, me in seat 3, and Timna Krom Blue Farm in seat 4. I felt I kept a fair hand with an Archivist of Ogma, and I watch a fight early over a threatened early Tevesh, which unfortunately for Cyrus, shout out to Cyrus for mental misplay, ended up with them being down a lot of cards and without Tevesh on the battlefield. I develop Archivist, but I'm just not getting the top decks I need. So I develop a plan to Gilded Drake someone's Krom for more advantage. At this point, both the Blue Farm and the Crom Tevish player had managed to resolve their Croms, and I judge that the Blue Farm player is farther ahead. So I go for their Crom, only to see my Drake get shot down with a red elemental blast. It was at this point that the Hermit Druid player managed to activate Fiend Artisan, no interaction is coming from my Archivist of Ogma draws, and they resolved Thoracle Consult to win the game and advance to the finals. So my run ended in top 16, but I was thrilled to see how well Vol did. There were definitely some elements that I would call like the Magda effect or just like the poor wording on my commander and background that were going on, which gave me an advantage, where players really didn't seem to understand how to interact with the combo or didn't know when they could interact, which allowed me to win through interaction at multiple points. And like I said, both Vol and Noble Heritage are relatively complex and frankly poorly worded cards, putting a big cognitive burden on my opponents to parse out exactly what Noble Heritage did, or exactly what Vol allowed me to cast. Some players were working under the assumption that Vol had the same restrictions as Power Stone tokens from Brothers War, for example, which is not the case. Vol just says I can't use the mana to cast spells from my hand. From my graveyard, from exile, or activating abilities is all fair game. I discovered through the course of the event that a card, Hypnotic Grifter, that I had included as a late add to the deck was a better outlet than I would have thought, because even with zero cards in hand when I activate it, I found I can still win out of the graveyard with Savine's Reclamation for Thoracle, needing only a single white mana available to cast it for its flashback cost, since Vol's mana can pay for flashback costs. On a similar note, Malevolent Hermit, the backside with Disturb Benevolent Geist, is basically a single blue mana to give me another form of protection, similar to Grand Abolisher, making it so my spells can't be countered. Since the event, I'm more confident with Azorius being one of the better options for Vol, probably a little bit better overall than Simic, and I'm relatively happy with how well White supports Blue with its good tutors for the combo lines, as well as a lot of responsible removal for stacks effects, and some lines that are really hard to interact with. Stoneforge Mystic for Umbral Mantle is telegraphed, but really resilient to interaction. I did neglect some really good pieces of interaction, specifically Mindbreak Trap on my list, which I've since included in the version of the decklist I plan to maintain. I still think that Vol wants one or two more really cheap outlets for their mana, which is something I kind of miss about the Simic version of the deck, where in addition to the blue outlets, you also have with, you know, Thrasios and Keenan in Simic to just dump boatloads of mana into when you're trying to grind value out for the mid-game, as well as providing you more lines to win with Umbral Mantle. Having access to those green dorks also makes it really, really easy to get access to colored mana off the back of an Umbral Mantle, and it's so much easier to win that way. But I don't think Azorius is particularly hurting for Vol in this way. So that's about it. That's my video tournament report for Oktoberfest 2022. Thanks again to the folks at Monarch Media for an awesome event, and thank you for tuning in for this episode. If you enjoyed it, I hope you'd give a like or subscribe and whatever app you use to consume this content. If you have any questions, you can always reach us on YouTube, where in the comments we are Gemstone Mine Podcast. You can add us on Twitter, where we are at GemstoneMineMTG, or you can send us an email, gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mine.